May my words be of you, O God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. There are some really huge theological ideas in today's reading from Matthew's Gospel. Things like Jesus' identity as Messiah and Son of God, the designation of Peter as the rock on whom Jesus builds the church, heaven and hell, the authority that Jesus gives to disciples to bind and to loose. But what caught my attention this week as I reflected on this passage was something else. One small phrase that would be very easy to overlook right in the middle of this passage. Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Flesh and blood has not revealed this to you, but my Father in heaven." Jesus was referring to Peter's answer when Jesus asked, "Who do you say that I am?" Peter didn't examine evidence and draw conclusions. Peter's answer was knowledge given to his heart from God's heart. It was the Holy Spirit speaking into his spirit. A spiritual director of mine once described this as something that you know in your knower. But think about this. Peter is famous for having been a loose cannon, impetuous, saying and doing the wrong thing at the wrong time. In fact, I should probably point out that in the very next scene in Matthew's Gospel, Jesus responds to something else that Peter says with these words. "Get away from me. You are a dangerous trap to me. You are seeing things merely from a human point of view and not from God's." So in one moment, Peter hears God speaking and in the next seems to miss entirely what God is doing. And isn't that just like all of us? But for this moment, the Holy Spirit reveals a world-changing truth to Peter, and Peter gets it. How does that happen? How does someone hear God speak? How does a human being receive insight from the Holy Spirit, especially a human being who is woefully inadequate at times? David Matches, a member of the Northumbria community in England, has written beautifully about how the Holy Spirit communicates with us. In the book Celtic Daily Prayer, Matches says this, "I had a vision of a house. Every time a crack appeared in the wall or damage in the house, I dashed out to repair it as quickly as I possibly could, like most of us do, so that the inside of the house was protected and kept safe from the weather and the storms. And the Lord said to me, 'This is what your Christian life is like. Whenever any cracks appear in the wall that has been built up around about you over the years by the world and by yourself, you dash out and you fill in the cracks so that no one is able to see what is inside. I want the world to be able to see what is inside. I want to be able to come in through the cracks into your life. And I am not going to fill them up either. I am going to flow in and out of these cracks. So when you see the cracks appear in your life, do not rush out and fill them in. Let me come in." End of quote. We are meant to have cracks in our being and in our daily life, spaces that allow for the coming and going of the Holy Spirit, so that we are available when God speaks to us and prompts us to action. So think for a moment about the people that you encounter in your daily life. Maybe your family and friends or your work associates. But even casual encounters. These are all people to whom the Holy Spirit speaks. Now that's really easy to believe about people who seem wise and measured and thoughtful. But Peter was this messy mix of a human being, sometimes horribly wrong. And God spoke to him. God doesn't just speak to some people, the holy, religious, good people. God speaks to everyone. Which raises the question, of course, about who is and is not listening. But if we begin with the premise that God speaks to everyone, then God just might be speaking to the person in front of us in any given moment. Does that change how we view one another? Does that impact how we listen to one another? What if we moved through our days savoring the idea that when someone speaks, they might be giving voice to something the Holy Spirit has revealed to them? If that's true, it seems to me I ought to listen a little more carefully all the time. Take a little longer to consider and value the words of others. Because maybe what they are saying is something that God wants me to know, even if it's something I don't especially want to hear. There are at least two takeaways here. The first is deciding to slow down, to listen a little longer and more deeply, to ponder the words of others, expecting that the Holy Spirit might be speaking through this person in front of me. And second, learning to cultivate our own ability to hold cracks open in ourselves for the coming and going of the Holy Spirit. How do people cultivate the capacity to give space to God? Well, daily scripture reading is one of them. The vestry is actually using a reading plan that is taking us through the entire Bible in 2 years. Louise Johnson describes what happens when we read the Bible daily. Johnson is director of leadership development at an organization dedicated to helping people live every day as Jesus' disciples. And she says this about daily scripture reading. Not every day brings a profound insight, but the practice of being in Scripture over time sinks these texts deeply into my consciousness and begins to form and shape me so that the things that are coming at me any given day, those texts are beginning to speak and move and help me know how to respond to the world in ways that I might not otherwise respond. End of quote. That's what it means to cultivate cracks, to cultivate openness to the movement of the Holy Spirit. Other ways to cultivate cracks are prayer practices like centering prayer and the daily examine. Or reading a devotional is another way. There are a bazillion devotionals out there. Ask around. Is there a devotional that someone you know uses and finds helpful? In fact, if you are watching on Facebook, I would invite you, if you have a daily devotional that you use, to post the name of it in the comments. There's something else new that is happening in this time of pandemic, and that is that people of faith are reading morning prayer and Compline every day online. Our diocese on the website has a list of local clergy who are doing that, so it's really easy to find a group and join. These tools and others open us to the Holy Spirit moving in and out of our minds and hearts and prompting us to action. In the reading this morning from the prophet Isaiah, twice God instructs us to listen. Listen to me, you that seek the Lord. Listen to me, my people, and give heed to me. If God instructs us to listen, it presupposes that God has something to say and that we have the capacity to hear and respond. Depending on who you talk to, we are living in a time of multiple crises: medical, economic, political, racial, environmental. It's pretty overwhelming. How do we as people of faith begin to tackle these crises? How do we have hope that it's even possible? In this time of incredible uncertainty, there are no roadmaps. Planning, problem solving, doing the things that we have always done are really not much use. What if, instead, we cultivate practices that create space for God? Because God certainly sees the way forward. What if our strategy as individuals and together as a church is to maximize our capacity to listen for God speaking to us and leading us today and every day as we move into a future that only God can imagine? A future God is imagining is better than anything we might dream up or plan. So what if we create space?